moments of this sacred service, I pray your Spirit would guide me. The thoughts and the words would be Jesus. And we would be encouraged as well as challenged. And hear the message you have for us today. Bless and use me now, Lord, for a blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'm going to make a controversial suggestion to you this morning. I don't know how many of you have seen the most recent Time magazine, and on the cover is a picture of Yasser Arafat, and all you can see is darkness around him, and the title is All Boxed In. I don't know how many of you have been staying current on current events and understand that Yasser Arafat is right now trapped in his compound in Ramallah, and supposedly for almost a week now he's been confined to two rooms that have no electricity and no water, and he can't move. Now, I understand from the article that perhaps there is a generator that's giving him some light, and he has no phone system. That's been cut off by the Israelis who moved into his compound and who has trapped him there. And I want to make this suggestion that he is a very fortunate man. There is something that we need to envy about his position. Controversial, right? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation, the 7th chapter, and please let me explain. As you're turning to Revelation, the 7th chapter, I want you all to turn there. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you. We are doing a series on the book of Revelation. We are currently on chapter 7. We just finished last week the 5th and the 6th seal. But before we get to the 7th seal, I want you to notice there's an interlude between the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th. So we're going to look today at this incredible idea found in Revelation, the 7th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. Are you ready? Here we go. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind should blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their forehead." Now let me stop right there in this brief interlude between the 6th and the 7th seal. Let's review the context here of where we find this. Last week we looked at the 5th seal. The 5th seal and the 6th seal being totally different from the first four seals. The first four seals were horses that went out at the command of one of the living creatures. When Jesus opened that particular seal, it was a message that went out to the whole world. There were four of them in succession, represented by four different color horses. And those four messages, of course, extend from the beginning to the very end of time to we are now. And the different riders on that horse express what happens as you either receive or reject these different messages. But when we suddenly, in the same chapter, chapter 6, get to the 5th and 6th seal, they aren't horses, and they aren't commanded to bring a message. Instead, they both deal with time. And if you remember last week, the 5th seal dealt with, it says, Jesus opened the seal, and it says, "I saw the souls of those who were slain under the altar for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." And those souls were saying, "Lord, how long until you judge and avenge us of our death?" You remember? It deals with time. That towards the end, man, even the blood is going to cry out to God, "When is this thing going to be straightened out?" And if you remember carefully, God said, "I give you, you got to wait a little longer, rest a little longer, and I give you a white robe, the assurance that they will be victors." But they had to rest a little longer because more were going to join them yet. And then suddenly we get to the sixth seal, the very next verse, and it introduces that there'll be an earthquake, and then the sun will be darkened, and the moon will be like blood, and stars will fall from the sky. And then suddenly it says that all the rich men, the free men, the poor men, the captains, everybody will suddenly say, "Fall on us, rocks and mountains, and hide us from the one who sits on the throne." And so, as if it's an answer, "Lord, how long? What's going on here?" We get to the sixth seal and we find out what happens to the wicked, the ones accusing the saints. Remember the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. They're going to get theirs. But did you notice, when you read chapter 6 and you get to the last verse, 17, did you notice the last five words? That these wicked who ask the rock to fall on them and hide them from the presence of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Well, I'm going to answer that for you today. Who is able to stand? "And after this I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. He cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God in their forehead.'" Brothers and sisters, first and foremost today, please notice that God is in control. Okay? God is in control. Who's orchestrating all this? Angels. In fact, if you look closely at verse 2, it says an angel ascending from the rising of the sun is none other than Jesus Himself. Here's the highest angel being commanded by Jesus to tell those angels, "Not yet. Don't let go. Hang on tight, because I've got servants who yet need to be sealed." You see? And isn't it interesting that the sixth plague ended with the wicked saying, "And who is able to stand?" The answer is those who recognize the authority of God and receive that beautiful seal in their forehead, folks. A group of individuals that will follow the Lamb wherever He goes and receive that seal. But first and foremost, notice, God is in control. Secondly, notice, He's holding back the winds of strife. Now, you know, I pointed here to this article. This is incredible. The things that are happening in this world. Imagine if you were Yasser Arafat, cornered in two little rooms with no electricity or running water, and you were held prisoner, frightened to death for your life. You know what it says? When the Israelis moved into the compound from three different gates with tanks, and then armored personnel came in, and personnel jumped out, and they went office to office shooting and killing and fighting the Palestinians. And they stopped right where Yasser Arafat was, all stuck. It says he got on the phone and he started calling. He first called whatever hotel, the Ambassador Hotel, to talk to Anthony Zinni, saying, "Get me out of here. They're going to kill me." That's what it says. Then he started calling diplomats all around Europe, saying, "Hey, you know, put pressure on Israel. Man, they're going to kill me." I think, time of trouble? Time of trouble. Yasser Arafat did not know what his fate was going to be. All he knew is he was stuck in a room surrounded by his mortal enemies. By the way, he's been in that compound, if I understand it, as a somewhat captive since December. But now he's confined in two rooms with the Israelis all around with tanks, armored personnel. And so we're seeing a glimmer of what would happen if the angels pulled back and the winds of strife were allowed to go free, folks. We are giving a glimmer here, and Arafat is living out what we are going to experience after God lets go. And we really see that it was His hand that kept this thing at bay, even though there are horrible atrocities going on right now everywhere in this world. We had no idea what is going to soon transpire. So we must be assured who's in control. It is the angels of heaven at the command of Jesus who is holding these winds of strife back until we are sealed. You see? That's what it is. This is good news. It's also a little scary, but it's good news. God is in control. He's holding back the winds of strife. By the way, the winds of strife. Take a look at Daniel, the 12th chapter. Let me read it to you from the prophetic book of Daniel, the last book for the end time book of Daniel. By the way, folks, when you see this, as I play this out, I'm just about done already, but as I play this out, this sealing thing, I want you to know something. You need to be here on Wednesday night. Yes, I'm guilt-tripping you. We are studying the book of Daniel, which goes right along with my sermons, doing Revelation, in order that we can be ready to receive that seal so that when the winds of strife are let go, we're ready to face it, even though I don't even want to think about it. And I'll tell you why I don't want to think about it. Revelation, Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 1. Now notice what it says here. Here's how you study your Bible, and we will be looking at this. Now at that time, what time is he talking about at that time? Well, look at chapter 11, verse 40. And at the end time, okay, chapter 11, verse 40 tells us that from then on it's talking about the last days. And we get to verse 1 of chapter 12. Now at that time, Michael the great prince who guards over the sons of his people will arise, and check it out. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Folks, when those winds are let go, it is going to be a time so horrible that it cannot be described in any other way except in the book of Daniel, that it'll be a distress like there has never, ever, ever, ever been before. And the only ones that are going to stand up are the ones who are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that means they have received the seal of God. So please notice as we move through this interlude, before we even get to the seventh seal, that God is speaking to us today. First of all, He's in control. Secondly, He's holding back the winds of strife. And as soon as they're let go, it's the time of trouble and then the seven last plagues. And it will not be a wonderful time to be alive, folks. It won't. It'll be a time of anguish for each one of us. But those who are close to Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him will make it. Because notice, the reason the winds are being held back until the sealing takes place. The sealing. Let me read the sealing to you. Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Very graphic, very pertinent. No mistake. Here's an example of the sealing work found in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. Remember, Ezekiel is also one of the prophetic books. In fact, it's one of the apocalyptic books of the Old Testament that is considered portions are dealing with the last day events. And here you will clearly see what's talked about in Revelation 7 is now here graphically portrayed for us in Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Then he cried out in my hearing and with a loud voice saying, draw near, O executioners of the city, each with his destroying weapon in his hand. I beheld six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his shattering weapon in his hand. And among them was a certain man clothed in linen, with a writing case at his loins, and they went out and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherubim, from the cherubs on which it had been, to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was the writing case. And the Lord said to him, go throughout the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. But to the others he said, in my hearing, go through the city after him. Strike, do not let your eyes have pity, and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, young children, women. But do not touch any of the men on whom is the mark. And you shall start at my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. By the way, I just wanted to temper this so that you understand what God is doing is righteous here. What God is doing is righteous here. Look at verse 9. Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and of Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion, for they say the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not hear. And by the way, when he authorizes those deaf angels to go and slay, he is letting them portray what Jerusalem was actually, really, literally like. Full of blood. Full of people in rebellion. People who were arrogant. People who were bigoted. People who were unfaithful, deceitful, liars. And so notice the winds of strife are being held back until his people receive the seal. And he won't let those go because his people aren't ready. By the way, you want to know how bad things were? All you have to do is go to Ezekiel 8. See, you need to read the book of Ezekiel. You need to start at chapter 1 and go all the way through. And he'll learn some incredible things because much of the book of Revelation comes out of Ezekiel. Much of the book of Revelation comes out of the book of Jeremiah. Much of the book of Revelation comes out of Isaiah. Those three books especially. And notice what chapter 8 tells us. And I'm just going to hit this quickly. You're going to have to figure it out. Read it yourself and you'll clearly see. Verse 3 of chapter 8. And he stretched out the form of a hand and caught me, Ezekiel, by the lock of my head. And the Spirit, this is God, lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes the jealousy, was located. The idol of jealousy in God's sanctuary. Take a look at verse 7. Then he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He says he looked through the hole, and verse 10 says, so I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creepy thing and beast and detestable thing with all the idols of the house of Israel were carved in the walls all around. Idol worship to the extreme extent. Right there in God's temple. We're not through here. Take a look, if you would, verse 14. Then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the house of the Lord, which was towards the north. Behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz, another female cult prostitute idol. The women of Israel in the temple were weeping for Tammuz. And if that isn't enough, this one will really catch you Adventists. Us Adventists, okay? Here it is. Check out 16. Then he brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord. And behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their back to the temple of the Lord and their face towards the east. And they were prostrating themselves towards the sun. Sun worship in the temple of God. And so you see why it is right and just for the Lord and for His wonderful, gracious mercy to finally reach a point where it can no longer be given to impenitent individuals. And they are graphically described for us here in the form of being slaughtered if you don't have a mark on your forehead. And we see why the abominations have piled up so high that the Holy Spirit can't even reach any of them. Any of them, folks. And so we clearly see that God is in control. We clearly see He's holding back the winds of strife. And we clearly see the reason is until His people receive the seal. Folks, what should we be doing? How's your life? Are you worried about finances? Are you worried about relationship? Do you want more cars? Do you want a bigger house? Would you like more possessions? Do you like to do some of the things that you know are detrimental to your mind's development, but you do it anyway because it's really a lot of fun? Are you eating and drinking things you're not supposed to, that the church even says we really don't support or agree with, but you know they taste good and they are fun? It doesn't hurt once in a while. How silly is all that compared to the sealing work that God is trying to accomplish with me and you? You know what studying for this did? Helped me to realize I had no idea how deeply ingrained the world really is in me, and I'm kind of scared for me. I'm not kidding. I'm trying to comprehend this. You know something, folks? I said that this was a bit, I forgot what I even said, heretical or something. This guy's in a good position. If you were in his position, no one would be more ready for sealing. Right? Do you get it? Doesn't matter how much money he has. Doesn't matter his education. Doesn't matter his position of importance. Doesn't matter his gender. Doesn't matter his nationality. He needs God. And he's probably praying his head off. And he would be more ready for the seal than me, who lives in my prosperity with all my abundance. And so in a way, this poor, pathetic man who cannot stop teenagers even from strapping dynamite to themselves and blowing other people, innocent people up, is right now praying his head off because he has nothing else. Brothers and sisters, this is where we should be at right now over this ceiling. In fact, what should we be doing? Let me read to you what it said here. I already read it to you in Ezekiel 9. Listen to this. And the Lord said, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark. You know that mark is the name of God. A mark, the name of God on their forehead. This belongs to Jesus. This belongs to God the Father. This is a resident for the New Jerusalem. And who are these people? Put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and groan over the abominations which are being committed in its midst. You see, people are sincerely humbling themselves and seeking God and admitting there's problems, there's mistakes. By the way, notice it doesn't say put a mark on all those who list the sins of Israel. Write them down and send them out to the whole church and name names so everybody can know who's doing wrong in the church or who's doing wrong in leadership or who's not making wise decisions in general conference. Write it up. No. They are sighing and groaning over the abominations which are being done in its midst. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing right now. Arafat's in a very fortunate position. I do not have to convince him of this. He is groaning and sighing right now before his God. And I'll tell you something. He may be praying to his God, but it's my God that's hearing him. And my God is merciful, and he may come through for Arafat, but I'll tell you something. You can't, in our position where we sit here, continue to worship a false god, folks. We are privileged people who understand this, and we must begin to live it. In fact, Joel also adds, Joel talks to me. Did you know Joel, the second chapter, another apocalyptic book in the Old Testament, the second chapter is about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says we should be doing, especially the pastors. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and altar. Let them say, God, spare these people. And do not let your inheritance become a reproach, a byword among the nations. They're all stuck in the world, Lord, and you're coming back and no one's ready. And so the people are to be groaning and sighing for all the abominations done in the midst of the church. And the priests are to be weeping between the peace porch and the altar for the individuals who are walking around in a daze and don't even know that God's trying to set a mark on their forehead. A beautiful mark. You know, not like the ugly, I got to say this, I didn't even think it, not like the ugly tattoos that everybody is getting. By the way, the Bible still says in the Old Testament, don't cut yourself. A Christian doesn't cut himself. That includes piercing of the ears. That's cutting the body. And those are idolater things. These are not Christian things, folks. And instead of doing that, we're to be weeping between the porch and the altar. We'll be crying and groaning for the things that are done. Because God wants to set a seal on each and every one of us. Now you see why I'm a little worried for me. It's embarrassing to tell you that I started studying this stuff and I thought, Lord, there's more of the world in me than I thought. It seems that the breaking loose of the four winds is about to take place, Ellen White wrote in 1888. We are to cry to the God of heaven in earnest, united prayer for the angels to hold back the winds till the missionaries shall be sent to all parts of the world and till we have proclaimed the warning against disobedience to the law of Jehovah and against worshiping the beast in his image. And we have people within the church saying that that's no longer what it's really going to be like or about in the last days. So what should we be doing? We should be praying that these winds of strife are held back longer. Did you catch that? Number two, we need to be preaching this message in a loving, kind way. You need to be coming to prayer meeting to learn. You need to come to our training classes. We'll teach you how to share this in a tasteful way with people. But we can't do it if you don't come. You know, by the way, when you don't come, or there's few people here, you know what? I don't want to be there. Isn't that terrible? See, I'm just as guilty as you are. Or I would be here doing flips and rejoicing even if one person was here. So I'm struggling too. But I'm reading this, I'm going, man, Lord, you're trying to seal us so that we can stand up under a time so bad that it's even going to be worse than this. And what are we doing? We're playing world, all of us. We're not spending time with Jesus in our Bibles. We're too busy. We're doing other things. And so here's the interlude. It says, who's able to stand? I'll tell you who's going to be able to stand. There's going to be a group of people that will receive a seal. And they'll put God's name on your forehead. We've got to stand up for what's right, folks. We've got to come here and pray for each other. We've got to lift each other up. You need to be praying for me because I might miss the seal too. And it isn't because Jesus is weak or failing. It's because I'm human. And so we're in serious times. Let the prayers ascend to God that the four angels may still hold the four winds, that they may not blow to injure or destroy until the last warning has been given to the world. Sixth volume of the Testimony, 61. So we have a work to do, folks. You know, in closing, let me show you this. I couldn't believe it. I turned my Time magazine, it's a week ago. And on the cover, it's about the Roman Catholic Church. You know all they're going through. Did you notice what's in there? Listen to this. This is, to me, the epitome of what's happening. While Jesus is trying to get us ready, this article says, women on a binge. Many teenage girls are drinking as much as boys. More college women regularly get drunk. Is this a case of girl power gone awry? You know, I used this for worship yesterday for the 7th and 8th grade class at Escondido. I wanted these kids to hear this. That girls are now priding themselves in binging and drinking more than men. And because of that, of course, you grown-ups know what has increased. Because of that, sexual assault, rape, date rape has increased. Why? Because they're under the influence of alcohol, they don't know what they're doing, and guys take advantage of them. Then you open up the article, and it says, drugs. Today, 15-year-old daughters are 15 times more likely to be using illegal drugs as their mothers were. Dangerous driving. Women, fatal traffic accidents have increased 30% since 1982, compared with a decrease in men of 8%. Smoking. Almost 30% of high school senior girls smoked in the past month, an increase since 1992 when 26% lit up. Fighting. 1 in 10 high school girls was in at least one physical fight at school in the past year. Violent crime. Since 1991, the number of women arrested for aggravated assault has increased a staggering 46% to 53,088 in the year 200. The number of men's arrests have decreased 9.5. This is Satan, girls, ladies. Satan has tried to tell you that this is cool, macho, really neat, in vogue, where it's at. And the purpose is, so you're so drunk or inebriated or messed up from your past life of being raped, abused, or whatever else, so you won't be sealed. Satan, that's what he's doing. And it behooves us to get to work. We've got to tell people, even when it makes us unpopular. Because Jesus is holding back those winds of strife, but they ain't going to happen for long. And when little smatterings like this happen, he's showing what it will be like in a microcosm. What it will be like on a worldwide basis when the winds of strife are released. Father in heaven, we need grace, we need mercy, and we need courage to face the hour we live and the issues at hand. Do not let anyone hear, Lord, let their fears rule, but instead let them hear a sincere, sweet call from your lips saying, I want to put a mark on you. I can do it. Let me. Father, help us to rise among the things that is taking out our young people and affecting us too. Help us that we will really spend time with you, meaningful time with you every day, so we can remove the hindrances from our lives so that we can be ready for the sealing. And Lord, we're going to do what it said. We're going to pray that the winds of strife be held back longer with the hope that you can use us to reach more people before they are let loose. Help us to be faithful. Lord, let decisions be made now in this congregation. Let everybody go home and at least once read these three verses. May they clearly see the issue and see that a tender, compassionate, loving God who suffered greatly for our salvation is wanting to cooperate with us so we can be ready for the coming. Do it, Lord. Win. And Lord, do it for me, my family, my church, this community. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.